And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Oh, mate, tonight's gonna be so much fun. Yeah, I think I'll get like a few beers for later. Yeah, I think I might just grab some ale or something. What's that? Like, beer. Okay, I'm just gonna get some Bud Light. Yeah, of course you are.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, November 18th. I'm Jay Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? We got my Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends. Oh, right.
Oh, man. And finally, our super producer, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are, at least some of us. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment, share the show if you haven't already. No Dunks merch available now for the holiday season. Go to nodunks.com, get yourself some No Dunks t-shirts and hoodies and mugs and shorts. Lots of goodies over there. Apologies for my auto. Apologies for my audio on yesterday's show. Maybe it was sounding like anytime I said audio like auto. I had the wrong setting on my record. So that's my bad. Oops.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Fix it, I guess. Yeah. Have the right setting. I got all excited talking to Dan Grunfeld. That's what happened. So I don't think I did it right. Finally, later today, new no buffs. Yes, that's right. Join Jason Concepcion, Trey, JD, and myself to recap last night's crazy episode of Survivor. Oh my goodness. So search for no buffs on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're going to go live right here on YouTube at 5 p.m. Eastern. Well, not right here, but over on the no buffs feed. So make sure you join us there if you're a Survivor fan. Okay. Great start by me today. Stumbling, mumbling all over these words. I'm already upset with Lily because I think there's a delay. Maybe there's not. Maybe it's me. Oh, my God. Guys, quick note about all 11 games. That's what we're going to try and do today. Will this be a four-hour-long podcast? Yeah, probably. But we'll do it our best to give it a quick little pace. Lee, get us started. Giannis and Middleton helped the Bucks defeat the Lakers 109-102. What do you got?
Yeah, I haven't got a quick hitter for you guys because honestly, this was the most...
Don't you fucking do play-by-play.
Yeah, buddy. I'm not going to do play-by-play, but honestly, watching Giannis last night, I mean, this sends a message to the rest of the league. I know Middleton came back. He looked okay. Didn't look his best, but he was okay. Shot the ball and just added another layer there. But this is all about Giannis. 47 points on only 23 shots, 3 for 4 from the three-point line and 8 for 11 from the free throw line. And the Lakers were like, I don't want to defend this guy. No one wanted to defend him. Anthony Davis was like, I'm not doing all the scoring and having to defend this guy. Because Giannis, this is what Giannis, when he saw Anthony Davis, he drove at him, he bodied him, he dirked him. And at one point, Giannis was coming down in transition and Dwight was on the court and so was Anthony Davis and they both did the old, you get him. Giannis just stepped into a three. Now, his three is still a part of his game that he's working on, but when he steps into it with confidence in the rhythm like that, he can take that shot and knock it down early in the game, fine. But, oh my God, like, if you're the Lakers last night, this was one of those games where the Lakers theoretically were in this game. They led in the fourth quarter, but they never really felt like they were going to win this game because they just did not have an answer for a guy who just was doing what he wanted. If you look at the box score, Giannis only had 9 rebounds and 3 assists. By his standard, quite moderate game, but he just had such control and domination of this game that it was never really in doubt. And that's the problem here for the Lakers. It was just like, we're fighting hard, we're doing what we can, but we don't have Giannis. Our best player is Anthony Davis. He was fine, But Giannis was just incredible. And as I say, Chris Middleton coming back, hit a couple of threes. They certainly could use his extra offense out there. But it's just, it's such an incredible difference when you have Giannis in control like that. And the Lakers and Frank Vogel and everyone was just like, we have literally no idea how to stop this guy. No team is like, oh, we can stop Giannis. I mean, when he's like that. But what I love about the evolution of his game is, you know, taking what the defense gives him. Okay, Anthony Davis, you're going to come up. They set a screen, and there is literally no help defense whatsoever. He just takes those gigantic steps in and then just drops the ball into the basket. A couple of times, okay, Anthony Davis is going to face him one-on-one. Boom, get out the way. I'm just going to go inside and have either a dunk or a layup. And then again, when Davis did sort of push him back a little bit in the paint, as I say, he dirked him. So, I mean, Giannis was just on his game last night. Incredible performance. Closer in the final score than I felt the game was. But really just a fun, fun watch. A little bit of Shaq in there. A little bit of Steph Curry. A little bit of Kevin Durant. A little bit of Dirk. A little bit of James Harden. All rolled into
one. A little bit of Monica.
But really, ladies and gentlemen, this is Giannis number 5.
There really
Giannis
was.
Giannis number 47.
I mean, can you imagine if prime Shaq was just pulling up in transition for threes? I mean, that's right. Kind of what it was. And then again, like I say, Giannis is point Giannis. And it's like, set a screen. And Davis is like, there's no way I'm fighting around the screen. Someone else can deal with him. And Giannis just said, okay, there's a layup. So beautiful game to watch. Fun game to watch. Giannis, incredible. The Bucks. Slow start, haven't been playing all that well, but no need to really worry when you see performance like that last night.
Yeah, and they have their big three sort of back here now with Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Giannis. Where you called Anthony Davis fine. I want more slander. I want more hate for AD. He's dropping the ball here with no LeBron. Where the hell is he? He has like one game.
Yeah.
It feels like every four or five games at this point, and a lot of the other time, Tass seems a little like checked out, lollygagging, if we're being honest. I thought this guy's top 75 all time. He does not look like a superstar on most nights right now, again, with no LeBron. That's my opinion.
I guess he's a little bit like me, according to Charlie Tuesley in the stream. Charlie says Tass is falling asleep.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe. AD is the difference between AD and Giannis was, it's quite apparent, you know, watching this game. Giannis is a regular season monster. And there's always the debate in the playoffs. Is Giannis the best player in the game? Is he the best player of the game? That's when Anthony Davis and LeBron, who has taught him very well, turn it on. But regular season, Giannis is indestructible. He's just a different guy in the regular season. So Anthony Davis is not stepping up while LeBron is out. I honestly think LeBron has just taught him to bide his time during the regular season and be ready for the playoffs. Anthony Davis is coming off a postseason where he was not right when they lost to Phoenix in the first round. That's probably part of it. And he's a little bit in chill mode. And I'm sure he's not entirely thrilled with the Lakers roster construction, where he has to guard Giannis one-on-one. But Giannis is ready for every single possession out there. There was the GQ article we touched on yesterday where Giannis said, listen, I just need a challenge every single season. I think he's just telling the front office, I don't take regular season games off. Do you see me? I'm a different animal out there. I will not chill, and you as a front office can't chill either, which is what the Lakers are doing. I guess, you know, kind of like the Bucks are getting it together with all their healthy guys. If the Lakers do that, I think they'll be fine. They just want to finish, you know, top four, and they're definitely within that range. I think a good sign for them is that they're such a top-heavy team. Their fourth highest player, Talen Horton-Tucker, had a team high 25 and 12. So if you're such a top-heavy team, your next guy's got to play pretty well. And they gave him an extension. The guy hasn't even played 82 regular season games in his career, but he's playing pretty damn good since he's come back from injury, 23-7 and shooting 49% from the floor and hitting threes. So he could be a starter in the playoffs. So, yes, Anthony Davis is disappointing, for sure. Just like me, Charlie Tuesday, falling asleep over here. But I get it. I get Lakers fans worrying. But isn't that just chill mode? I mean, that's what LeBron does. And I think he's taught his guy very well.
Lee, you got the trifecta going here today, man.
I swear these leaf blowers do not start until 10:05. Whenever we start the show, that's when they're like, yep, show's on. Time to blow the same leaves we've blown yet. It's unbelievable.
Hey, it's fall, right. Man. It's
I'm
fall.
Going back to mute.
Leaves on the ground.
Yeah, at least we know they're actually just blowing something at least now. All right, let's keep it going. We got too many games. Trey, you're up next. Booker scored 24. Suns beat the Mavs for their 10th straight victory. Phoenix Suns on fire.
Yeah, I saw a hater in the stream team earlier pre-complaining that we were only going to be talking about the Bucks and the Bulls and that we were going to ignore the Suns' 10-game winning streak. And let me tell you, complaining 2 hours before a show starts really makes me not want to talk about the Suns winning 10 straight games. Mm. But here's a bone throw for you. No Doncic for the Mavs. So it only took one quarter of real basketball for the Suns to get their 10th straight win. Six Suns scored five or more points in the fourth quarter to pull this one out. Chris Paul had 6 points and 7 assists in the quarter. DeAndre Ayton didn't miss a shot. He went 4 for 4 in the fourth. Got a sweet dish from Chris Paul for one of those assists. That was nice. And Devin Booker hit a three under a minute to ice things for Phoenix. This was a quality professional win for the Suns. They didn't play great, but they executed down the stretch to get the win. I hope you're happy, Reximus Prime. That one's for you, Reximus Prime. 10 straight wins. You had to play one quarter against the team missing their best player. Congratulations. Moving on.
Yeah, I mean, we had Booker in the thumbnail. It was in the title of the show coming up, like you said, 2 hours later. There you go. Suns, though, incredible. 10 straight. That is wild. Tass, you're up next here. Lillard rallies the Blazers to the 112-107 victory over Trey Kirby's Chicago Bulls. I think the Blazers are back to 500. Are they not?
They are. It's a weird season for them. 7-1 at home, 1-7 on the road. I talked to Jason Quick yesterday on the Athletic app. He's been covering the team for 24 years. When you think about that, that's older than probably Reximus Prime or these people listening to our show, right? 24 freaking years. Anyways, he painted a pretty bleak picture when I talked to him. He said Nurkic isn't mentally tough enough. He's not that building block that Portland thought he was. Robert Covington is disappointing. He's probably going to go to the bench eventually for Nasir Little. It's time to break up the CJ Dame backcourt, according to him, like people have been saying. He went deeper to say that some positives. Chauncey Billups is the guy that should be leading them moving forward as their head coach. He's playing well. And that Damian Lillard, even though he's coming on recently, he was questionable going into last night against the Bulls. Well, he did play, and it looked bad, very bad, for the Blazers in the first half. They're down 20 points. And then things changed. When Nurkic went to the bench in the third quarter, Larry Nance came in. And Larry Nance was their big offseason signing. I know not a huge offseason signing for a lot of people, but he did a little of everything because this team just needs everything. He was 16-9, 3 assists, 3 steals, played defense, initiated things, and then he went to the free throw line with 16 seconds left. The Blazers fans were chanting, "Larry! Larry!" And I'm not sure that's been done before in his NBA career. So that's pretty cool for Larry Nance to have that happen. It is still a strange team where Larry Nance kind of has to be the savior. And Nurkic played well when he came back into the game. But they don't get performances from enough guys on a regular basis. But Dame, you know, playing, not a great game for him, but Dame playing and being himself is good enough to get this team to 500. And that's what they're going to be. They may not be a top five team, but I don't know. Chauncey Billups push the right button with Larry Nance, and I don't know if he can push another button with Nasir Little coming into the lineup. It's still a team that's in flux while this investigation into the front office is going on. But when you got Dame Lillard, top 75, I heard. He's one of the top 75 best. He's 70, gonna lead
76,
this team.
I was corrected on. You're right.
That's so true.
Both AD and him, yeah.
How horrendous a situation where you got a top 76 in year 75 here. But they're going to be fine. And that's I wasn't overwhelmed by this team, but they've got enough guys to be a playoff team in the West, which shows you how great Dame is.
We know Trey was staying up late to watch some Blazers-Bulls. What'd you see just quickly there, Trey, from Chicago ultimately giving up that big lead?
I haven't seen every Blazers game, but that felt to me like the best defensive quarter they've played in the third quarter. Basically, when Larry Nance Jr. checked in, it was almost like what the Bulls have been doing to other teams. Their bench has really brought the energy, and that has flipped the script in a lot of Chicago's wins. Didn't happen last night. The Blazers played a lot harder in the third quarter. They looked completely disinterested in the first half. Like, Lillard looked terrible in the first half. He looked like he did not want to be out there. Turned it on a little bit in the second, but it was really Larry Nance Jr., like Tass is saying. The Bulls were just playing sloppy, playing lackadaisical. I think they had 10 turnovers in the third quarter. That gave the Blazers a ton of confidence so that when Nurkic came back in, the Bulls didn't have an answer. They were missing Vooch big time last night. Still had a chance to win it down the stretch, just not quite good enough execution. DeRozan slipped and fell again. I know he likes to wear old Kobes, but
yeah,
gotta check the treads on those, I think, beforehand. And Zach LaVine had a wide open three that could have tied the game, and he missed it pretty badly. He was kind of off in the fourth quarter as well. Bulls just didn't play good enough in the second half to win.
All right, our next game here. Lu Dort, drop your dorts in the stream team. All cap locks. He scored 34 as the Thunder beat the Rockets 101-89. His fifth straight game here, scoring 20 points at least. And in the final 5 minutes, he took over. He scored 9 down the stretch. I saw Andrew Schlecht tweet this morning. Dort ranks fifth overall in scoring for the 2019 draft class for this season. Lu Dort was undrafted. It's Ja Morant. It's Talen Horton-Tucker, who's only played in 3 games, Tyler Hero, Darius Garland, and then Lu Dort, which is pretty wild. I need to apologize to OKC fans, because back on October 24th, I wondered on Twitter, is OKC going to win 10 games? Now, the answer to that is absolutely yes. They started 0-4, which had me tweeting that, and now they're 6-8, so they've turned it around. They beat the Lakers twice. It's like the Magic playing the Knicks for whatever reason. They beat the Spurs. They beat the Pelicans. They beat the Kings, and now the shitty Rockets. So I think they have provenly that the Thunder have, that they are not in the bottom tier of the NBA. They are one step above a lot of these other teams. And, you know, I know Thunder fans are pretty happy with that, especially with the way Dort was playing last night. And he's on a nice little run right now.
Yeah, and Josh Giddey had another double-double as well.
He did.
He's been playing really well, and that's the thing. All those teams you mentioned there, like, they should beat the Rockets, and they did, and the Kings as well. So, you know, the Lakers, though, they were two good wins. They were two quality wins, no doubt about that. So good on the Thunder, because I was with you there. I was like, I'm not sure where they're going to get their 10 victories from, but right now I guess they're on pace for closer to probably 20. That's good for them. So, and Dort, they are fun to watch when you see Dorty out there. He's got, is he bringing back the Kung Fu headband? Am I seeing that? I'm not sure. But yeah, he's all energy, all hustle. And again, for a guy undrafted, and he's on that tiny contract too.
Yeah.
He is really giving way more value than he's getting for his in return.
Yeah. I'm heading down to the Fortress on Monday night here in Atlanta to watch SGA and Dort, the human cinder block, take on the Hawks. Yeah, I want to go see them play in person. And Giddey as well.
Of course,
like you said,
yeah.
Had a beautiful left-handed fling pass dime to JRE, is that what they call that guy with the three names?
Yeah.
What's his name? Jeremiah
Robinson Earl.
Yeah. I always want to say Earl first too.
It's cooler to call him Earl, I think.
Anyway. Yeah, you want to call him
they're
Earl?
They're on pace for 35 wins though. I also thought they'd definitely be the worst team in the league. Good for them.
Yeah, it's instead the Rockets or the Pelicans, I guess. Rockets have lost 13 straight. Should John Wall maybe be playing? I mean, at this point, like, it's pretty embarrassing. Like, they're getting hammered by some of the teams that they should at least be in games with. Now, they beat the Thunder. There's the one win about a month ago. But this is really, really bad. And, you know, John Wall could technically be playing. And he's not. Okay. Good Dort game there. Lee, Magic. They rallied late to beat the Knicks 104-98 to stop a 3-game slide.
Well, if you were only to see the Magic play the Knicks in Madison Square Garden this season, you'd think the Magic are a pretty good team. They're a weird team. You look at their front court starting lineup. They've got Franz Wagner at 6'10". They've got Bamba at, 7'2". And then they've got Wendell Carter about 7 foot as well. Like, that's a weird front court. And then you've got Cole Anthony and Jalen Suggs in the backcourt. But really, the story of this is the same problems are there for the Knicks in that their starting unit and their bench unit are just playing completely different basketball. We've talked a lot about Evan Fournier. This stat came from Tommy Beer this morning. Evan Fournier has been benched for the entire fourth quarter in 6 of the last 7 Knicks games. He's played 5 out of a possible 84 minutes during that 7-game stretch. So
It's That's almost... the Carlos Boozer stint right there.
Yeah.
You get to start, you get to play through three quarters, and I do not want to see you try to guard anybody in the fourth.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and the Knicks, you know, Derrick Rose has probably been their most consistent player again this season, and he had a couple of errors late last night. Jalen Suggs, I thought, was actually really good for them, getting a couple of steals. He said he was a football, or he used to play football, and he said he was picking off plays like a football player. I don't know what position he plays, but read them well and finished strongly. So, yeah, the Magic get a second win in Madison Square Garden. Really solid performance from a team that, again, we've seen them just be terrible at home. But something about being in Madison Square Garden gets the best out of these guys. And Cole Anthony was bing-bonging the crowd after the game. Didn't have a great game himself, but a very impressive win. And something's going to have to change there for the Knicks. Whether it's Fournier out of that starting lineup, I'm not sure. But it seems that would be the most likely switch up right now. Get Emmanuel in there, I think. But another bad loss for the Knicks. Looked like they were going to have that avalanche run. Had the big lead in the fourth quarter. Couldn't close it out.
Oh, when Obi Toppin was splashing threes, yeah. And Madison Square Garden was going bonkers again. I was like, yeah, they're going to do this. They're going to pull this game off. And yeah, kudos to the Magic. I mean, do you see Franz Wagner's dunk in traffic?
Franz.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
That one caught me by surprise. Like, that was on, guys, in like a tight game with like a couple minutes to go. I mean, MSG like gasped. It was like, whoa.
I thought it was also impressive for him to make that move after looking like Bob Cousy handling the ball on top. Yeah. The guy is not a fluid athlete, but he gets up and slams hard. So shout out to Franz.
Yeah, for sure. Anything to add, Tass, to that game? The Magic rallying there to beat the Knicks in MSG? Like the Thunder oddly had the Lakers number, it appears the Magic have the Knicks number too.
Yeah, you got Freaky Franz, you got Jalen Suggs out there, guys who don't put it together every night, but when they do, it's special, along with Cole mm-hmm. Anthony and Mo Bomber, as Lee calls him. there's a lot of talent along with Wendell Carter, but yeah, they can't put it together all the time. But yeah, Franz Wagner is going to have a nice little dunk tape when this season is done. I mean, he plays off guys pretty well. He can't really create for himself, but a great slasher, great pick where he was drafted this year. Love me some Franz.
All right, next one. Hornets beat the Wizards 97-87 for their fourth straight victory. Trey, what do you got from this? What's your takeaway?
If I were given this game a name, it would be Brickos for Sickos, because you had to be a sicko to watch this absolute brick fest. The Wizards went 8 for 42 from 3. That's 19%. The winning team, the Hornets, 10 for 32, a whopping 31% from three-point land. For the full game, Charlotte shot 44%, and the Wizards shot 37%. Basically, the Hornets zoned up in the second half. And the Zards couldn't shoot him out of it. 36 points in the second half for Washington. The worst culprits were their point guards. You're brutal. Spencer Dinwiddie, 29 minutes, didn't score. 0 for 5 on the night. His backups, Howell Neto and Aaron Holiday, 5 combined points on 2 of 12 shooting. None of those point guards scored until the fourth quarter. LaMelo, he had 11 points. He went 4 of 18 from the field. Somehow got a career-high 14 assists. He must have had an assist on every basket that the Hornets made, but a weird one. 4 straight wins for the Hornets. A nice recovery after 5 straight losses.
Yeah, I made a big reaction there when you said Dinwiddie went for 0 points, because for the first time in a long time, I decided to play a little daily fantasy sports last night. Oh, so I was building my roster. I was like, Dinwiddie's been playing well. You can put him in on the cheap, you know? Save some money. I can play Giannis. I can play... I went with Towns, who didn't have a monster game. And then 0 points. There's a reason why I don't play this. It's like, And it always looks bad, because I'm in a league, and oh, this guy's the NBA expert. I finished dead last night. Fuck, Dinwiddie, you killed me.
Yeah, that was clearly his worst game of the year. He just looked like... He's just chilling. You know, Bradley Beal was back. Maybe he's trying to let him kind of get his feet under him. Beal had an okay game, but Dinwiddie, incredibly passive. He must have known you had some money on him.
I guess so,
How many guys were your dead last?
It wasn't, look, he wasn't my only bad pick.
Don't get me wrong, I picked an entire roster of trash.
You know, it's the one where, like, you're building your roster with a certain amount of money, right? So Giannis is, like, the highest ranked, so whatever he goes for, like, I don't know what it was, like 13K, let's say, and then you got to try and find the gems at 3,500 to 5,000. I don't know. I went with Dinwiddie. I thought he'd play well.
It's like a division of like 10 teams or 20 teams or something?
Oh, no. Okay, there were six guys playing last night with their lineups. Yeah.
You weren't 10,000th. That's
finished
all.
Dead last. No. I was playing. Yeah, that's true. That would have been bad if I was dead last out of 10,000 entries. I was dead last out of six entries.
It's only five guys making fun of you. No big.
That's true. That's true. All right, our next one here. Anthony Edwards closes out the Timberwolves' 107-97 win against the Sacramento Kings. Oh, yeah. It was the Kings-Wolves Bowl. Tass, what do you have?
Yeah. Another baddie. Brickos for sickos, as Trey said. It was ugly. Anthony Edwards finished the job and provided the best quote as well. He's just quotatious. I don't know how the Wolves came back and won this thing. They were allowing the Kings just to grab every offensive rebound in the first quarter because the Kings were missing all their shots. They had 12 offensive rebounds in the first 16 minutes of this game. Had those possessions where you just see those balls bounce off and get multiple shots. They had a couple possessions, two possessions where they had four shot attempts. But head coach of the Wolves, Chris Finch, woke him up at half. This is how Anthony Edwards put it. He said, "You got Finchy in there yelling." He's calling him Finchy.
Yeah.
That one's for you, Lee. And he said, "That's not him. Know what I'm saying? When he doing that, we got to tighten up. He banging on the door, we got to tighten up. We can't have Finchy in here acting out a character. We for sure had to find a way to rebound." They did that. They came back, and they beat a Kings team who is now out of the play-in tournament picture. Those two teams should be battling for a play-in tournament spot. Now the Wolves have the Spurs coming to town on Thursday, which is another team that's sort of in that mix. But they're focused on following up a win with another decent performance, because last week in LA they beat the Lakers and then they followed it up with a big fart game against the Clippers. And I guess they partied it up in LA, because Anthony Edwards said this after the game, they'll be taking a different approach after this one. He said, quote, "We're going to stay in the house, get on the video game, call a couple teammates, Torian Prince, Patrick Beverley. Let's play Call of Duty till you get sleepy. You get sleepy, go to sleep. It's a different routine tonight for sure." So I guess they partied. Now they're going to get sleepy together virtually.
Cool.
I guess that's the plan. And the story really is Luke Walton, head coach of the Sacramento Kings. They lose. How many more games can it last? I know you tweeted out the Tristan Thompson speech post-game, Skeets, where saying, you know, no mother coach should have to motivate you to play basketball. It's not up to Luke Walton for us. Tristan right. Thompson plays for the Kings, by the way. It shouldn't be Luke Walton. And that's the problem, I guess, when Tristan Thompson's the vocal leader. It should be coming from the starting unit. Anyways, they're not playing hard. The Wolves walked all over them, and this can't go on all season. I know if Luke Walton gets them to play some games and they're in the play-in tournament, sure, but now they've dropped out. OKC has freaking taken their spot officially. And so Luke has got to be on the hot seat for, mm-hmm. you know, the coming month. I mean, if they're out of it in the coming month, then I don't see how you keep going this way.
Yeah, I would say seek out Tristan Thompson's post-game interview. I mean, it's like a two-minute rant where he is saying he is talking for all the guys in the locker room. That was my favorite part, about, you know, playing with a little more energy and a little more effort, and that it's not on Luke Walton. I mean, I guess he's right. I get what he's saying, but it would be nice if your coach could maybe have a defensive game plan, inspire you to like give it your best effort out there too. Like both could be true. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be around long here, Luke Walton. These are games. Like, they had hopes when they went on this road trip because of who they were playing that they would like maybe have a winning road trip, maybe even go undefeated on the road trip. And of course, the exact opposite happened here. So that's not good. As for Finchy firing up his team, do you think he threw a kettle over the arena, Lee?
I think that's the only way you can motivate everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
just, Luke Walton should try that.
Yeah. Anytime someone says Finchy, I just have to resist putting up some sort of quote or meme or video of the Finchy from The Office, because it's just perfect. Chris Finch, the Finchy.
All right, we'll keep it going here. Decent pace. Corey Joseph led the Pistons to a 97-89 comeback win over the Pacers. Yeah, let's talk Pacers. Not really. Let's talk Pistons. Definitely another Brickos for Sickos. Not a pretty game. I watched a decent amount of this one. I don't know what's wrong with me. Both teams shot below 43% from the floor, under 30% on three-pointers. But Tass, watching this game, just couldn't help but think of you, man. Clutch Cade. It continues. Cunningham entered the game about halfway through the fourth quarter. Detroit is down two, so it's a close game. What does he do? He knocks down a smooth turnaround jumper to tie the game up. Really, really nice. This guy plays in control, especially as a rookie. He followed that up with a little drive into the paint, drew a double team, really weird double team, being honest, from the Pacers, kicked it to a wide open Corey Joseph, splashed the three. Pistons have the lead back. Then Cade extends the lead thanks to a little beautiful drive and like double clutch finish inside. And then sort of finally here, he floated through the lane and then kicked the ball to the corner for a Frank Jackson three, and Detroit was back up five. They held on. He missed a couple bunnies too that probably actually hurt his like clutch shooting, you know, a game within five in the final 5 minutes. But he was great and he's playing well. I saw Detroit Bad Boys task. They're wondering, what do they call him? Is it, here are their options. Clutch Cade, Cade Clutch, Clutch Cadingham, or Cade Clutchenham?
I think Clutch Cade rolls off the... what was it? Clutching Cadingham?
I do like Cade Clutchenham.
He was like, I hope he's coming to Thanksgiving dinner because I would love for him to be clutching a ham coming in. I would love that.
Oh, you know, ham, underrated at Thanksgiving.
It is. It is.
You ham know, sucks.
No,
ham sucks. Ham, nice. Ham is the worst meat that is commonly served at any meal.
Oh, no, it's probably
it's
turkey.
Not, the thing is, it's not commonly served IMO.
Yeah. There's a reason. There's a reason. People are like, nobody wants ham. Maybe at Easter. But even then, you're like, it's only Easter. Get that ham out of here.
I disagree.
Cade cunning turkey, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he was great. And the Pistons won. We got to get the poll up. Is ham overrated or underrated? Is ham good? Yes, that's that. You know what is good? My final note from this game, I tweeted it last night. Frank Jackson's mustache is incredible. This guy looks awesome right now. Ryan Wohlstadt, he tweeted at me, it's like he's time warped from the 80s.
Yeah.
And even his jumper looks like it's from that era. So anyway, it's a beautiful looking stash. It's inspiring me. I still owe a bunch of pick and payoffs. I still plan on maybe getting rid of the beard and showing up here one of these days, probably for our final show with a mustache. But yeah, Lee, what do you think of that bad boy?
I do think it does look like an 80s NBA basketball player for sure there. Yeah. Didn't watch a whole lot of this one, to be honest. I saw the Pacers and I saw the Pistons. I was NFL red zoning it last night. I've just keeping my eye on the score and I'm like, yeah, the Pacers lose that one. Come on, the Pacers should be better than the Pistons. But,
They're weird.
They are very weird.
Pacers are a weird team. Yeah. The more I've watched them here over the last couple of days. But good wins from the Pacers.
Yeah, Pacers are weird. I just want to jump in. I love the mustache. I'm a big Frank fan. I always thought he could pull off the Rick Fox run, which is like being a sporting player, hit some threes, look extremely handsome, and win some championships, you know, own an E-League team after his career is done. He can pull the Rick Fox, I think. And I just hope I hope teams don't start doubling Cade, because that could be the end of Clutch Cadingham, Cading Clutchingham. That could be the end of it. Just stop. I think there should be a rule implemented. I mean, it's the Pistons. Just let them hold the ball.
It sounds like Devin Booker here. No double teams.
Yeah. Well, kind of. I mean, if you can't beat the Pistons without doubling Cade, then you stink. And that's what could happen in the last 6 minutes. Even the Pistons broadcast put up the stat as he was coming into the game. He's 6 of 8 in clutch situations coming into this game. And he missed a couple bunnies or whatever. But he's so good, and it's so fun to watch him in those final minutes hold the ball. But if you're an opposing coach, I mean, get it out of his hands.
Oh, but that's he will willingly give it up, though. This is what's great about him, especially he does not like force his shot. I mean, he's athletic enough that I'm sure he feels like he could get his shot a lot of the time against a lot of these defenders, but he plays with, you know, in the flow of a game, and he's not like gunning for numbers by any means, because those aren't going to blow you away. But he's been one of the more impressive rookies in a really good rookie class, as we've talked about a couple of times. I thought he was awesome again down the stretch here. And I mean, maybe the game plan will be to run more guys at him. But then, you know, it's Corey Joseph and Trey Lyles time. And Jeremy Grant hit a big bucket late, too. Okay, we're going to do this maybe here. 3 games left. Jimmy Butler, triple-double in his return. Heat topped the Pelicans 113-98. Lee, was this one of those ones that you were checking in on last night?
Well, the Pelicans in the last week have actually been somewhat competitive against the Nets last Friday night. That was kind of close. The Nets pulled out. They got a win against the Grizzlies. They led by 19 against the Wizards the other night before losing. And they actually started off this game pretty well as well against the Heat. But I feel with the Pelicans, teams look at them. And you know how we talk about sometimes a bad team can sneak up on other teams and get a few wins? I think that's what's happening. People look at the Pelicans and think, we're going to beat this team. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit hard sometimes to get that motivation at the start of the game because New Orleans did come out firing, but you sort of just knew the Heat were going to come back. No Kyle Lowry here for the Heat. I expect he will be back tonight. And then Tyler Hero started and hit a crazy going for an alley-oop, but actually just went in on the fast break three-pointer. He's just such a good shooter of the ball, but not much to take out of it. Jimmy Butler, yeah, the triple-double, almost the Jason Kidd-style triple-double with the 10 rebounds, 10 assists. The Heat were a better team. They just really did look like they were kind of asleep in the first half. When it was winning time, they came out and got the job done. But yeah, for the Pelicans, they can at least say they've been respectful in this last week as far as competitiveness goes and getting one win against the Grizzlies. But they just can't. They don't have the talent. They don't have the depth, I don't think, to really be able to get too many wins this season. Zion, I think, is back. They were saying can do start doing 5-on-5 stuff. So that's a good sign for him. But still feels like he's at least a month away right now from any real on-court action.
In regards to Jimmy Butler, I checked this morning. He jumped Kevin Durant on Basketball Reference MVP tracker. That big performance there last night got him up to third. It's Curry, Jokic, Butler right now. 1, 2, 3, again, according to Basketball Reference. Okay, two games left here. Trey, Harden and the Nets outlast the shorthanded Cavaliers, 109-99. What do you got from this one?
Yeah, Nets got up pretty big in the first half in this one, stretched it out to 23 points, a first half lead. It's not real, though. Cavs played hard enough in the second half. They hit some shots, made it close, but completely outgunned in this one, really. No Evan Mobley, no Colin Sexton, no Jared Allen, no Lauri Markkanen, no Lamar Stevens evens. Meanwhile, the Nets had 4 20-point scorers. Harden had 27, LaMarcus Aldridge 24, Durant 23, Patty Mills 20. I'll be honest, getting a little worried about the Cavs here. That's 5 straight games scoring less than 100 points, and that all started once Colin Sexton went out for the season. They're missing his off-the-dribble game. They're missing his transition game. Getting Jared Allen back from an illness is certainly going to help. He'll put pressure on the rim, but it's still a couple of weeks for Evan Mobley. And in the next month, the Cavs play the Warriors, Nets, Suns, Heat, Jazz, Bucks, and Bulls. They're going to have a tough go of it here, missing one of their best perimeter offensive players. Feels like we might be getting a repeat of last year's Cleveland Cavaliers season where they get off to a hot start. The young guys are looking good, and then as the season wears on, injuries happen, and the team just kind of falls off. But it's been a fun first month for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It's true. We talked about them a lot. Yeah, the Rubio All-Star chances took a hit maybe there last night and might continue to, but what are you going to do, Tass? It was a fun couple of weeks.
It was great. I mean, I feel a little bit better than last year and the year before that. We had the B-line situation. This year, it's more like you lose your top scorer in Colin Sexton. You lose Rookie of the Year leader in Evan Mobley. There's other injuries. Feels a little bit more understandable. You can wrap your head around it.
Sure.
But, yeah, they miss Colin Sexton big time. As much as I'm a Ricky Rubio fan. Speaking of handsome men, you can't be relying on him to drop 20, 25. You just can't. And they're really banged up, even besides those two guys I mentioned. So, yeah, it's not looking good. But, you know, at least they got a good start here.
Our final game, the balanced Hawks. Ka-ka! They won their third straight. Beat the Celtics 110-99. Tass, have the Hawks turned it around here?
They have, but they beat a team in the Celtics that just can't hit shots. You know, people say it's amazing to go watch warm-ups at an NBA game. NBA players don't miss. Mm-hmm. That's not the Celtics. The Celtics miss a lot, even wide-open shots. If you look at the deep into the stats, wide-open three-point shots for the Celtics where an opponent is 6 feet or further away, they're still only hitting 1 in 3 of those shots. So they went on this three-game trip, and they failed to score 100 points. Even with Jason Tatum, you know, dropping 34 here against the Hawks, they obviously miss Jaylen Brown, but they may not have the roster to hit freaking shots around these guys. Is it play Aaron Nesmith more, who I like, but you know, doesn't play a lot for this team? He's small. He was 50% shooter in college a couple of years ago from three-point land. Ime Udoka kind of has done a good job of getting guys to play hard defensively, but there's just wide-open shots, and they are seriously clanking them over and over and over again. To me, one of the best things to watch as a longtime Raptor fan is Damon Stoudemire on the bench. He's an assistant to Ime Udoka, and he's a cool-looking guy. I like the look. And if you want to go back to suits for Damon Stoudemire, I'm okay with that because I think he looks great in a suit. These are old coaching photos of Damon Stoudemire. Obviously not wearing it now with the Celtics, but he looks like a good suit wearer. Maybe it's because he's 5'10", you know? There's not a lot of long limbs, but I don't know. He looks good.
I saw you tweeting about Frank Vogel and his quarter zip last night.
Yeah.
Have you started to turn on coaches looking like schleps out there on the sidelines? You want these nice looks?
Schleppy, huh? I just like Frank's dad face, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was very angry.
Big mad, yeah.
All right, there it is. All 11 games. A note about all of them. I know some of you are upset. Didn't talk long enough about your team. Oh, well. You'll be back tomorrow. Actually, no, you won't. It's our last show, so joke's on you. We'll take our first break here. When we come back, the up-down report. I was going to say, is Damon Stoudemire ever going to go away here? I guess he is. Oh, I see what's happened here. We lost JD.
Oh, that's what happened.
This is a horrible last show, if I'm being honest. I was stumbling and bumbling at the beginning. Lee's Wi-Fi always sucks. Now JD's gone. Mm-hmm. We just looked at Damon Stoudemire's beautiful suit for a couple
here,
minutes.
Let me take a quick poll of you three. If I click this thing that says ads won November 18th, you think it's the right thing?
Yeah
do it. Let's do it. We'll
and
take
you
a
click
break.
It, because I was ready to click it. We don't want to double click.
That's right. Here's some ads coming for you.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael. That guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with No Dunks, holding on by a thread here. I think JD's with us. He said his power went out. Are you
I'm
there?
Back.
Yeah, there he is.
I'm back.
Everything okay? Something got unplugged?
The circuit got broken. We got guys working in the house here, so... Yeah, hanging on by a thread is right.
That's all right. We'll make it through it. Also, when I think of Metallica, the first two names I think of, Lee, are you... and Samuel L. Jackson now. Okay, let's get into the up-down report.
Preparing your tubies. It's the up-down report.
Yeah, the up-down report. Got a few questions for you guys. You can throw some thumbs on it. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Do the same in the stream team. JD sometimes has a chance to share some of your responses. First one, Staples Center, getting a new name. Starting Christmas Day, it will be Crypto.com Arena, the downtown LA home of the Lakers, Clippers, NHL's Kings, WNBA Sparks will change its names after 22 years of operation. According to multiple reports, Crypto.com paying $700 million over 20 years to rename the building. Okay, see you later, Staples Center. Up or down on this? Trey, get us started. Staples Center getting renamed to Crypto.com Arena.
Totally sideways on this one, Skeets. On one hand, Crypto.com Arena, that's a major down. You can't put .com in a title. It's ridiculous. But on the other hand, to me, Staples Center, neither an iconic building nor an iconic name. Many iconic things happened there. It's been around for 22 years. I have shirts that are older than the Staples Center. So to me, it's an office supply store in 2021. There was an episode of The Office made saying how office supplies are outdated, and that was made in 2007. Right. Nobody goes to Staples. Nobody uses Staples. Do you have a stapler in your house, Skeets? I doubt it.
I actually do, but does
well,
it ever
weird,
get
man.
Used? No, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
You're right. Most people probably do have Staples.
Yeah.
But... that being said, when it comes to crypto, it's up only, all things okay. considered. I honestly hate the .com, but calling something the crypt, which is what a lot of Lakers fans have been saying, objectively right. cool, but you're trading a brand for a brand. This is like, I couldn't believe that Lakers fans were upset that they were changing the name from Staples.
Yeah, that part was a little weird. There was a lot of Twitter talk about this.
Yeah.
But Lee, what do you think? Thumbs up or thumbs down on Crypto.com Arena?
Down or up. I don't really care. I just can't believe how upset people get over the name of an arena. Like, who gives a shit what it's called? They're not changing the team name from the Los Angeles Lakers to the Los Angeles, like, Wild Dogs or something like that. I mean, I can understand it then. If people, like, oh, who cares, man? What the hell the name of the arena is? No one cares. Nobody's going to go, oh, my God, I can't go to a Lakers game now anymore. I seriously, though, just wonder. They say, you said $700 million over 20 years. I'm like, yeah. They could easily pay that, but the way crypto is, and I don't quite understand, they could also be completely bankrupt next week. So I don't really know how this is going to work out. But of all the things going around getting people upset on Twitter, I'm just like, seriously, you care that much? I mean, why? What does it matter? It's like in Snatch when he says, what do I call you? Bullet Tooth Tony? You can call me Susan if it makes you feel good. That's really what it should be. Just call the arena, whatever the hell you want to call
the
it.
The Susan Center.
Lakers, Clippers, tonight, come on down to the Susan. The lazy Susan. There's something there, maybe. The whole thing spins around. hey, what gate are we? It's on the other side of the building. Give it 5 minutes. It'll be around. Tass, thumbs up, thumbs down. Staples Center being renamed. Crypto.com Arena.
God, I love it. I love hearing .com. I'm going to the crypto.com arena. Woo! Yeah, the .com really kills it. You know, the Staples Center, it shows that people stop affiliating it with a brand after a while. It's now just the name of the arena, I think. Mm-hmm. That's why they're so pissed. I had forgotten, honestly, since they renamed it, I guess it was 1999. Looking back, I'd forgotten that it was named after Staples. It just kind of became the name of the arena. Yeah, the name that it was changed from before, the Forum, now that was a great name. Right. But now it's Staples, so now it's Crypto.com. And they paid in cash? They paid in dollars? That's the weird part. Why didn't they pay in cryptocurrency? I mean, right. If you want to sell it, you know, accept crypto in, what was it, 750 mil? The equivalent of 750 mil?
700 mil, yeah.
Good for them.
I saw Ghostface Ziller, Tom Ziller. I just wanted to get your take on this because it caught me by surprise. He wrote in his newsletter, Trey, that according to him, by his count, Ziller, there's only four good NBA arena names. Madison Square Garden, Ball Arena, Smoothie King Center, and Little Caesars Arena. What? I know you read the same thing, or you at least saw his tweet. Yeah. What was your reaction to Ziller's list there? Madison Square Garden. Okay. I think we all agree.
But yeah, exactly. There's one great name for an arena, Madison Square Garden. That's the only great one still going right now. Though I will agree that you could slot these next three into good. Ball Arena is just great because it's basketball. Yeah. Smoothie King Center, that's the meme name out there, you know. It's not actually great, but somehow Smoothie King has stuck around for a long time when, like, you know, Talking Stick didn't stick around for a long time. Like, the Suns are now the Footprint Arena. Also very weird. And Little Caesars Arena, I was out on this one until Ziller posted the picture that has the little Caesar guy on top of the arena. So I was like, okay, that's good. And the other one I would add, I would say that the Charlotte Hornets play in the Spectrum Center. And that just sounds like a classic name for an arena to me, the Spectrum Center. So I would elevate that to a top fiver as well. But in general, it's Madison Square Garden and then all the rest.
Yeah, Lee, you are an NBA diehard. But I have a feeling if I were to quiz you on, hey, can you name all the arenas in the NBA? My gut says there's five or six, maybe seven you would have no clue about. Or you would think is still named X and it's been changed. Like OKC, for example. Do you know what OKC's arena is called?
Not the Chesapeake Arena, is it?
No, that's the thing.
Chesapeake.
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
No, it's something I don't even know off the top of my head. I have to look it up, but I know it's something different. Is it like pay or something? I don't know. It's something. But it goes back to what you're saying. It's like a who cares. Paycom Arena is what it is. That's it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. When you say it, like, oh, okay, but otherwise, that's why it's just not memorable at all. Like, no one's like, oh my God, I love that corporate giant sponsoring that arena. That makes me feel so good. Like, it's just, oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite named arena, though, besides Madison Square Garden?
What, in the world or
in the world?
Soccer's got some great. San Siro in Milan. That one's a great one. The Bernabeu in Madrid. The Nou Camp, Barcelona. Old Trafford, that's a great one. Anfield, So, but they still sell out as well. I don't think Old Trafford has sold out. But like Arsenal became the Emirates. They used to be at Highfield. That's the Emirates. So yeah, I mean, money talks. It's the same in the Australian leagues. You know, we used to have, you know, traditional ground names, and then, you know, money comes and talks and they change the name. And that was like 25 years ago. I remember people like, oh my God, you can't change the name of this. And then it's just like, you just get used to it and life goes on.
Well, I think like the Packers are one of the teams in the NFL that like refuse to change the name of Lambeau Field. I think I have that right. Does that sound right, Trey? Where like they've been offered,
Lambeau
I'm sure,
Field
tons
and the Bulls,
yeah.
Or the Bears are Soldier Field.
Soldier
as well.
Field, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, some of them want to stay traditional and not slap that brand on it. But anyway, funny, funny topic there. Again, thanks to everybody for the thumbs up or thumbs down on that one. Let's keep it going with this next one. Following a week of strong play from the NBA's newest class, there's been a little movement atop the NBA rookie ladder over on NBA.com. Cade Cunningham has entered the top five. Josh Giddey climbed a rung to number four. And the Raptors, energetic forward Scotty Barnes, he has jumped ahead of the Cavs, now injured big man Evan Mobley, at the top of that ladder leaderboard. So up or down on that one, Tass, on Barnes right now being number one on the NBA.com's rookie ladderboard. Thumbs up.
Huge thumbs up. Why the heck not? It's sort of by default because Evan Mobley is out. But if you look at the numbers, Scotty Barnes is a little bit better than Evan Mobley scoring the ball, even efficiency, which is surprising. Evan Mobley, a big man, doesn't have the field goal percentage that Scotty Barnes has, shooting 51% for a wing. That's very impressive for Scotty Barnes. And, you know, down the line, the numbers are really, really, really similar. And Scotty Barnes is impressed. I wonder, though, if you asked all 30 GMs, who would you rather have a few years from now? I'd still think it'd be like 70-30 for Evan Mobley, but I'm, of course, excited that Scotty Barnes is looking the way he is. He's so freaking confident. The Raps are running out those three, you know, 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", wingspan players in OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, Scotty Barnes at times. Scotty's playing the five at times like Evan Mobley, but he can be a point guard, you know, holding the ball and carrying the ball. So I think the reason why you don't pick an Evan Mobley for a rookie of the year is what you're seeing with Scotty Barnes, because big men don't have the opportunity as much as guys who handle the ball like Scotty Barnes does. But Evan Mobley is just a freak of a player. because he can do guard type things, and Scotty Barnes is showing he's kind of similar. He can do guard type things, even though he's able to play at center. So at this point, I think most GMs would still take Evan Mobley long term, but because of the injury, and because Scotty is honestly he's playing great. He's so good. It's the clubhouse getting crowded though. You know, right. It used to be Evan Mobley's. Now the injury has changed things. Cade Cunningham is coming along as we've talked, and Scotty Barnes is in there. I still think it's a more of a two guy race with Barnes and Mobley, and Cade will be there in the end. You know, the Jaylens are still lagging behind, but it's still a fun race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lee, what about Barnes at number one right now? What do you have him there?
I'd probably still have Mobley because I think Mobley's not going to be out that long and he's been better overall. I think he's had a greater impact. But yeah, Scotty Barnes has been great. It's been a really good class. I think there is probably six or seven guys who have had a big impact on their team. Talked about Josh Giddey already. Jalen Green started off pretty hot down there in Houston. And then Jalen Suggs, even last night, he started to show signs of getting it together. So I think it's great. It's really good to see such a deep class. And maybe it does just come down to who plays the most games, really. So hopefully Mobley isn't out for too long, because I've really enjoyed watching him. But Scotty Barnes, he's easily the fan favorite, I think, overall on the number one leaderboard there. The Raptors fans absolutely love him, and why not? He's great.
Trey, what do you got on this one?
Thumbs I don't have much down. To add. Scotty Barnes is leading all rookies in scoring and rebounding, so even though Evan Mobley is out, I think that's a lot of the reason he went to number one. I'm here for it. He's been, at worst, the second-best rookie so far this season. Number one is out, so slot Scotty into number one right there. I will say I think Cade Cunningham is going to be coming for that number one spot pretty soon. I think we will see him at the top of the leaderboard before Evan Mobley returns.
Yeah, I would say, I guess, one guy that was there early, Lee, was Duarte with the Pacers, who's come back to earth a little bit. He had that very hot start. I mean, he was getting a lot of minutes because of injury there, too, and he was really clicking from three. Percentages have started to tick down. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still a 40% three-point shooter. That's great, but just overall from the floor, it's come back down a little bit, but that's fine. He'll probably be in the mix for a top five. Franz Wagner, we talked about. Mm-hmm. Josh Giddey, we talked about. You know, they're all there. Tass was right. It's a very good class, very strong class right now. Final one in the up-down report. Despite getting crushed by the Warriors on Tuesday night, the Brooklyn Nets remain the title favorites, according to BetMGM. I tweeted this out yesterday. Seems a little odd to me, and we're showing you the favorites right now on YouTube. Nets are at plus 260 to win the chip. Lakers are next at plus 650. The reigning champs Milwaukee Bucks sit at plus 700. And then the Warriors come in at fourth on the odds, a little longer, at plus 750. So the cue for everyone here in the stream team and listening later, you can tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. or let us know your answers in the YouTube comments. Up or down on the Nets remaining betting favorites to win the title, Lee?
I'm down on that. From what we've seen so far, and you mentioned it just the other night, the Warriors looked a much more complete team than the Brooklyn Nets, and they've still got Klay Thompson to come back. Now, he may take some time to adjust, but he certainly knows how they play. He knows the system, so it's not like he has to learn how the Warriors play. And they just look better. I think they've got the MVP so far of the season in Steph Curry, and they're getting contributions from other guys as well. Kevon Looney's been okay. Kuminga had some nice plays for them coming off the bench as well. So I think the Nets are... I don't even think they're the favorite in the East. I still have the Bucks as the ultimate favorite there. I would not have money on Brooklyn right now. Now, again, it's a long season. Things can change, of course, and maybe Kyrie comes back at some point. Who knows? But today, with what we've seen, I would have the Warriors as a favorite, and I certainly wouldn't have the Lakers as second favorite at all. If you're going to put money on the Lakers, just donate it to charity. I don't think they're a very strong team right now in the West. I think the Suns are better than them. I think the Clippers are better than the Lakers right now. The Jazz are always a bit hard to tell because I think they're a better regular season team, but they've got some issues in the playoffs. So, no, I would not have the Nets as the favorite. I've got the Warriors and then the Bucks as my top two.
Okay, what do you think, Tass?
The thing that the Nets have going for them is last year, remember, we all said, the Nets can't play defense. They can't play defense. You can't win a championship like that. Well, now they're playing really, really, really solid defense to start the year, and they're tied for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, which is shocking with the way that they've looked. They've beaten a lot of poor teams, and they've lost to the good ones, as we saw with the Golden State Warriors. But is this offense just a mediocre offense? No, and that's what they're playing with right now. So when their offense catches up with their defense, I can understand why they're a favorite in the Eastern Conference. And so I think that's a good sign for them. They got a lot of new parts, but they're still playing defense. And I would say same thing that Lee said, obviously, that they are not playing like the Warriors or whoever, but I still think that they should be a favorite to come out of the East, you know, with the Bucks. And it's amazing that they're tied for the top of the Eastern Conference, as underwhelming as their wins have been.
Trey, what do you think? Up or down on the Nets still being favorites? Yeah, down.
I'm with these guys. I think the Warriors are the favorites. They've been the best team in the league through the first month of the season. They've got the MVP. They've got a potential, and I would say likely, defensive player of the year in Draymond Green. And theoretically, they're going to add Klay Thompson at some point. Yeah. So I think the Warriors should be easy favorites here. But Tass makes some good points. The Nets are an uninspiring 11-5. It's almost similar to the Mavericks, where you're like, what's wrong with this team? How do they keep winning all of these games? They'll keep playing defense. They could get Kyrie Irving back at some point, but I will say that's the impressive thing for the Nets, is they've been so good this season that we haven't really been talking about Kyrie being missing from this team since the season actually started. So I got the Warriors in a landslide as the favorite right now, but the Nets are still good at basketball.
I saw a Sports Media Watch tweet this morning, the Warriors-Nets game from this past week, second most watched NBA game of the season. And Golden State has played in 3 of the top 5, 5 of the top 7, and 6 of the top 11 games thus far. So people want to see Steph Curry and the Warriors play. Here is a question from @DJ_Rod, also by way of Twitter, Lee. But it's a little interesting. If you're the Warriors right now, you think you're championship material, would you consider trading, be it a Wiseman, a Kuminga, a Moody, so one of your really young guys, for another piece? And if you did, who would it be? Rod suggested, you know, is it somebody to defend Jokic in a series? Is it a rolling big man? Is it a pick and pop big man? Yeah, what do you think of that question from Rod?
Very hypothetical. I probably wouldn't trade Kuminga. I think he's shown some really good flashes early on. I think Wiseman is probably the guy, because he was the number two pick. You know, a bit of an up and down season. If you could replace him, I mean, again, a guy who I've sort of talked about, Mo Bamba, didn't get extended by the Magic, and he's been good for them. I mean, he's another guy who can protect the rim if that's what you're looking to add and replace. But I mean, I haven't obviously looked into the trade machine for anything like that, but I think the Warriors are okay as long as you got Draymond there, you know, sort of controlling the defense. I'm not sure there's a deal out there that really does improve them, short of like someone just giving you, you know, an obvious upgrade at that position. So I'd probably just stand pat, I think, and ride with what you've got, because as I say, you're getting Klay back. Klay's a good defender. Klay's going to help the offense. Their defense has been very good so far anyway without those guys. So
it's like elite right now. We haven't seen a defense like this great in terms of numbers wise like in 10 years. I saw going around defensive rating,
and so that's without you know a rim protector per se, like so they don't really need one at the moment.
The last thing Warriors fans and the Warriors themselves want is BetMGM to make them the title favorites, because I think they're really leaning into like the disrespect angle, like the what about us, you forgot about us. Well, you hear Draymond Green say this all the time. I mean, he just had a quote flying around. I think he's got a new podcast where he's like, he's saying all that. He's like, we have an MVP guy and you don't think anything of us. You know, we have Klay coming back, one of the greatest shooters ever. You have me, defensive player of the year guy that should always be in the conversation. And he's like, you've overlooked us after the last couple of years. You got tired of us, you know, going to the finals every time. I'm saying like it's like beneficial to them to be like that underdog status. So they want to remain probably at third, fourth, fifth on the BetMGM like title favorite odds. I think it does them good, Trey.
Yeah, then if that's the case, they should start losing some games, because if they keep going 13 out of 15 every win, eventually they're going to be known as the favorites. They're on pace for like 65 wins at this point, so flying under the radar isn't quite working when you've got the loudest offensive player out there. Like this story about Steph Curry, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, that his swishes were not swishy enough for him is honestly just ridiculous. He's like, yeah, you can get a swish if you miss the center of the hoop by 5 inches. So I tightened it down and I was shooting for a 3-inch or 1-inch radius on my shots. Only Steph Curry can do this. So they might want to sit him down if they want to not be the favorites anymore.
Yeah, it's possible. All right, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we got Tweet of the Night, we got Pick'em results, and a little bit more fun, so don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, back with No Dunks. I just saw on the stream team here, Lee, you'll be happy to know that Hootsky went to a concert last night, and the band leader, I guess, yelled, "St. Louis, you are the life of the party."
Who was it? Who was he watching? Hootsky?
I don't know.
Hootsky and the Blowfish, of course.
Let's just leave it at that. That's perfect. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Couple of Tweets of the Night here for you. The first one, just a quickie, comes from Matthew Connor, who tweeted me yesterday and said, just said, "Feel like we need more Sloppy Joe talk." Okay. Who's the Sloppy Joe of the NBA? Joe Ingles, probably. Got a sloppy look to him sometimes. I don't know. What a weird thing. Feel like we need more Sloppy Joe talk. I like do like a Sloppy Joe, but that one's for you, Matthew Connor.
What can I ask you? I only ask it because Nora asked me. What do you consider a Sloppy Joe, Trey? Like the real thing, not Joe Ingles. Yeah.
Ground beef.
Yeah.
With like a sloppy barbecue-y kind of sauce. Want it. Me, I will accept two forms. Bunned up, closed face style. Or you can go Steve Kirby style. Open face, sloppy
That's
Joe.
That's what we did.
Yeah. You're getting more beef in that one. So, man. Okay. This guy's getting more sloppy Joe talk than he bargained for. Is there another definition of sloppy Joe that I'm missing?
No. I asked because maybe we found Nora's burner Twitter account. She asked me like 2 days ago about sloppy Joes. Because I don't think she ever had them growing up. Like, I'm not sure Sloppy Joe, a fine Armenian dish that they're having. And I was like, oh, yeah, Sloppy Joe, we had those. And that's exactly how I described it. But I think she thought maybe it was more like, almost not like a meatloaf, but like in a tray. And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Not sloppy enough.
We had it the way you had it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you want it. You want there to be bread, but you want that bread when you pick it up to almost disintegrate, just covered in sauce.
Yeah.
cool. I'm glad we all agree on Sloppy Joes.
Hey, with more food talk, because I brought it up, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, I brought up grilled cheese sandwiches and how I dip them either in tomato soup, because it's a nice combo, of course, tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich, or sometimes ketchup. Dipping the grilled cheese in ketchup. I had people reacting like that was the most insane thing they ever heard.
Really?
And I was like, am I crazy? Because you guys didn't seem to think that was all that crazy. Even, Trey, you were like, you've done that, especially as a kid, I'm sure.
I would dip a grilled cheese into any tomato product. Oh, yeah. Maybe even into a sloppy Joe. Can you imagine? That'd probably be pretty good, actually.
That'd be delicious, I think. But anyway, people were like baffled by that. So I guess in some parts of the world, I'm sure it's maybe perplexing. But Taz, did you ever dip a grilled cheese sandwich in ketchup?
I knew people. I knew people who would do such a thing. But, I can see why it's a pretty clear divide. Those who do and those who don't. I can understand why people who wouldn't hang with those who did, and, vice versa.
I get it.
I seem to recall, when Mum used to make us toasted sandwiches, they were ham, cheese, and ketchup. Like, so it was built in.
I wouldn't then
dip as well on top of that, but I wouldn't also find it offensive if someone was doing that if they didn't have ketchup already in their sandwich. I wouldn't try to fight them or anything like that, you know.
There are a shocking amount of people saying that this is insane to dip a grilled cheese in ketchup.
Grilled cheese dipped in ketchup? That's a no-no.
I am legit just baffled. I thought everybody did, not everybody, but a lot of people did this. Or and even if it's not for you, it's not crazy to do.
Yeah, I think I saw the front man of the Blowfish, Hootsky, was saying that dipping a grilled cheese into ketchup, number two way to eat a grilled cheese. Obviously, you would want to dip it in a tomato soup first.
Yes.
But ketchup is just like a very, very thick soup. Thickest soup you can imagine.
Wow. Did you have another tweet? Or
Yeah. Okay. I thought we were just going to get a quick little bit of Sloppy Joe in there and move on to the next one. Next one comes from Tyler Ricky Tynes and Barrett Sports Media. It's from a talk radio show in Philadelphia. And the caller on this radio program won't let anything get in the way of his Ben Simmons take.
Hi, James.
Angelo, morning team. How y'all been?
We're doing great, James. What's on your mind, bro?
Not bad. Someone just hit my car.
Oh, no.
Not bad.
You just got hit?
Got hit.
Yeah, they're driving off. It's okay.
What?
Oh, no, what? No, James.
What's your license plate?
Get your license plate.
Anyway.
I'll write it down. I'm going to get a license plate.
I'll get a lawyer for you. Read the license plate over the radio.
No. Oh, yeah, that's wrong. They shouldn't do that.
They swerved into my lane. No way. Anyway, I was calling about Ben Simmons.
What?
James, you just got in a car accident. You called about Ben Simmons?
Oh, that's an accident.
Yeah, because he annoys me more than someone hit my car and driving off.
Great line at the end. Wow. Ben Simmons annoys me more than somebody hitting my car and driving off. I guess my question to you, what's more annoying, a hit-and-run accident or your team star having a months-long trade request hanging over their season? It's a tough call. What you got?
I don't know who was in the taxi with me in San Francisco on the No Season Required Tour, but someone did bang into us and drove off. Does anyone remember that?
I thought they got
I was in the cab when that happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
we were such dicks about it, too, because we were in such a hurry. We just got out and ran away. Basically just got out and ran to another cab. I remember Matt. It was me, you, and Matt, I think.
Yeah,
we were, and it was just like, okay, well, good luck with all of this. Yeah. See you later. We got to go shoot something.
What are you going to do anyway?
Yeah. That's true. Well, I mean, we could have stayed to be witnesses, I guess. But I think it was the cabbie's fault, actually. So that would have not.
Yeah, but the other car did just drive off.
So
it was
kind of,
yeah, it was like, all right, what is this guy going to do? Chase him down? We don't want to be on one of those like five alive, you know, helicopter cams as a chase going downtown San Francisco here.
my gut says that James may have had something to do with this little tiny fender.
Well, he was
driving
on his phone,
yeah,
on a radio show driving.
Yeah, it's okay.
So.
It's okay. I finally got through to this radio station. It's fine. I didn't see him, and we touched, but he's gone. It's okay. It was I don't know. It's my gut. But man, holy crap.
That wasn't James' fault.
How do you know?
He's a diehard Sixers fan.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't have insurance, so he's like, nah, just let it go, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to deal with this.
Man, it's nice to hear sports radio talk, though. That's exactly what I think sports radio talk sounds like. It's like the perfect stereotype, but it's true. It turns out, like, just that gravelly voice. Let's talk shop.
hey, read me his license plate. Is that illegal to read somebody else's license plate on the radio? There's probably regulations.
Probably. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like the woman sort of jumps in there. Don't do that, actually. Great stuff. Great tweets of the night there. Sloppy Joe talk and
sloppy driving
James
talk.
Sloppy, hey, there it is. Okay, pick'em results from last night brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Kings and Wolves. I was calling it, the disappointing bowl, especially with Fox going against Beasley, two guys on my top 10 most disappointing players this season. If you missed that, check out yesterday's podcast. But in the end, Minnesota gets it done, pulled away late. Anthony Edwards did hit some big shots. So that's a victory for Tass. He's 10-3 in the month of November. That's a win for Lee. He's 8-5, and I needed that one because Trey and I had different picks last night, so I got it. I'm 6-7, and so is Trey after losing with the Kings. So, what's tonight's game? There are six on in the association.
6, a nice heavy Thursday night sked. How do they do it? How do they keep making heavy scheduled nights? Isn't one going to lighten up at some point? I don't know. Either way, yeah, surprising. 6 games. The Wiz, slowing down. Trey talked about the sicko missos. What was that one called?
Sicko boxos? Brickos for sicko.
Brickos for sicko. Damn.
Sicko missos isn't bad, though, either.
So they're going to face the Miami Heat. And even though the Wiz at the top of the Eastern Conference, they're 7.5-point dogs going into Miami. Miami, 7.5-point favorite. So in the words of that radio host, what you got, bro? What's on your mind, bro? Skeets is taking the Washington Wizards while the three of us are riding with the Heat. Jimmy B is back, trip dub last night, and they're 7.5-point favorites. That's a big, big line. So, Skeets, you think that they can lose by 7 or less, the Wizards?
Do I? Or did I just swerve because I didn't want to see all of us have the same pick? And there was a lot of love for the Heat in the Slack channel this morning. So, yeah. Sure, it's a big enough line. I sort of like, my gut said Miami would cover, but you never know in this league. Dinwiddie can't have an over again, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, I'll take Washington to at least try and keep it close. It was a big game, obviously, between Trey and I here as we're starting to run out of dates in November, but it's only November 18th. My goodness, feels a lot later than that to me. Must be all that daylight savings, eh, JD? all right, so good luck. Especially to the Washington Wizards. Keep it close for your boy, Skeetsy. Fun last show. Wild, I'll say, last show to go out on. You know, power going out, and some hiccups at the beginning. But we powered through it. And in the end, Lee, you're off, right? Like, you're headed overseas. You're going to England. Now that the tour's over, you're done?
Yeah, I'll be in beautiful, sunny, cloudy, drizzly, cool Manchester for tomorrow's show. So,
wow, so you head out tonight?
I head out tonight, yes. And sources close to the scene, our WhatsApp chat, may have secured tickets to a big soccer match on Saturday afternoon in Liverpool. May have.
What? So, may have, okay.
Well, yeah, we're waiting for confirmation from old Uncle Trigg, but might have some tickets to Liverpool Arsenal Saturday afternoon. So looking forward to that if it comes through.
Old Uncle Trigg? Where do they play? At Old Stafford?
No, this one is at Anfield. This one's huge game. Huge game. So.
Okay, that's Saturday. But so you're flying to England tonight.
I'm flying to England tonight, yes.
And hope to be on tomorrow's show.
JD, this is really for JD. I've booked a podcast studio in Manchester, an official studio to do tomorrow's show. So,
wow.
I mean,
definitely not going to work, is what we're saying.
I think it's probably going to work better than it works here. So, it's an official, actual studio designated for podcasting type stuff and recording. So, we'll see.
This will be great. You gotta have to give us the tour of this place tomorrow.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, have a safe flight.
Thanks.
We'll hopefully be talking to you tomorrow on the Drop Podcast live at 10 a.m. Eastern. But later today, if you're a Survivor fan, check out the new No Buffs podcast with Jason Concepcion. We're going at 5 p.m. Eastern live on YouTube. Again, just search for No Buffs on YouTube if you want to watch us live. And then we'll flip that into a podcast, which you can, of course, find on Apple and Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for No Buffs Survivor. Get your No Dunks merch, nodunks.com. Get yourself an athletic subscription, theathletic.com/nodunks. And finally, send in your questions. Maybe we'll get to some questions on tomorrow's Drop Podcast. That'd be fun, eh, Tass? Hit the beach a little bit? Yeah, why not?
We absolutely will. I've got this Andrew Wiggins question that's been rattling around my brain the last few days. It's a good one. Okay. A real good one.
Nice tease, man. All right. Well, you still have time to get your great questions in. Send them in nodunks@theathletic.com, or you can tweet them in @nodunksinc, or you can leave them in the YouTube comments below. Thanks to the stream team for joining us live today. We will see you guys tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, nodunks.com for some gear. Everybody's selling gear these days. Everybody. I was watching Survivor 41 yesterday. Then I'm scrolling through my feed. We've got football Danny McRae. He's selling Survivor 41 gear. Just a classic Survivor 41 shirt. It's like I played in the league. It's just sort of like a Toronto Raptors shirt, or like it's more like a 2021-2022 NBA season shirt. You know what I mean? like Survivor 41? I guess not. I guess I'm talking to the diehards here. You guys are like, Survivor 41, it's an accomplishment. Shut up, Taz. But, you know, it's just kind of a strange shirt. Anyway, everybody's selling gear. That's all I gotta say.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.